which is a different integration method for perturbation of black holes and in the Reggio Wheeler gauge, and the method which can be used for computation of self-force. Work done in cooperation with Sofia Nodia at Max Planck. So just a quick snapshot on the last 50 years of history, which have been mainly seen the effort in the Reggio Wheeler gauge. Actually, it was in 97 that the first scheme in time domain was proposed. And another important milestone from the computational point of view was the parametrization of the initial conditions by Martel and Poisson. If one has to do a quick trade-off between Reggio Wheeler and Lorentz Donder gauge, or harmonic gauge, shouldn't listen to this talk, because I'm not going to claim any way that one gauge is preferable than the other. Advantages and disadvantages are known on both sides. And I don't even take a stand whether a gauge choice should be done a priori or specifically for the problem at hand. What just I find of interest, in a way amazing, is that this method, in principle, allows to rework the weakness of the Reggio Wheeler gauge into a new feature, into a feature of a new method, of different method. Advantages and disadvantages between Reggio Wheeler and the other gauges, and the harmonic gauge especially, are concerned with the availability or non-availability of a wave equation, and the fact that, at least up to today, we have the self-force defined only in the harmonic gauge. So the plane of my talk is the following. We start with the radial case and look at the jump condition for the wave function and the derivatives. And on the basis of that, propose a different method of integration. I will show that with this method, one can recover the well-known forms at infinity and the position of the particle. And then I will have the last two transparencies talking, addressing generalization, either in terms of expansion, either in terms of generic orbits, and finally, some preliminary conclusions. So the jump conditions. For jump conditions, I mean the conditions that the wave function and the derivatives of the wave function have to satisfy. There have been two heuristic arguments in the literature, I'm talking now initially for the radial case, for which the perturbations should be C0 at the position of the particle. One argument is that the integration on the Hamiltonian constraint leads to a leading order, and that shows that perturbations are C0. And yet an argument is by looking at the structure of the Zarrilli equations. And on the basis of these arguments, Lust and Nakano derived the jump condition at the position of the particle. And they explicitly write for L equal 2 from the Zarrilli equation. Another way of doing a similar process is to start from the solutions of the Zarrilli equation, which can be written formally. And by looking at the properties of the perturbation of the inverse relation to determine the jump condition that the wave function and the derivative of the wave function have to satisfy to guarantee that the perturbation of the particle continues, and namely C0. So one starts from the inverse relations, which can be formally written. and can be displayed more easily in a symbolic form, where the by visual inspection you gather immediately the meaning of the different f function. They are written in terms of wave function and derivatives, and the delta and delta prime is a symbolic shortening of an usual writing, where zu of t is the geodesic in the background.
This is, so h0 equals h2 here, and this?
Yes, yes. So from the visual inspection of the Zeil equation, one gathers that the wave function is c minus 1. So one can write it in the following form as a sum of two Heaviside step distributions. And therefore, one gets a space derivative, a double space derivative, a time derivative, and a mixed derivative. Symbolically, one can simplify the look by posing theta 1 and theta 2, simply indicating the two Heaviside step distributions. And in deducing this, in imposing these conditions, these definitions, we've made use of one of the Dirac delta properties, namely that allows to transform a delta derivative, which multiplies a function, into a sum of a derivative and the Dirac distribution, and multiply it this time by numerical values. So the goal is to state that the function, the conditions on the wave function and the derivatives have to be such that when they are replaced in the perturbations must be C0. So the coefficients of theta 1 must be equal to the coefficient of theta 2. The coefficients of the delta and the derivative of delta must vanish. And therefore, we get the conditions. It is interesting, well, so we get the conditions for the wave function from k, from h0 and 2, we get this other condition, and from h1, the third condition. And this is obviously consistent because these three expressions are equivalent. So the condition on the wave function minus F3 over S2 is equivalent to minus F8 over F6. And the same stands for the derivative, space derivative. For the other conditions, they have to be deduced from H0 and H1. And these are written in terms of the jump condition of the space derivative, double space derivative, time derivative, a mixed derivative. And in the explicit form, they look like this way. So this condition ensures that the perturbations are C0. Once this is done, one can build up this different method, I think. So let's start first to say what doesn't change with respect to the previous traditional methods. Well, the mesh form and size and approach is the same. There is the same splitting, T and R star, the same cell area. The initial data are the same, either a La Lustre Price or Martelet-Poisson. And cells are divided in two types. Either cells which are never crossed by the particle, or cells which are crossed by the particle. For the cells which are never crossed by the particle, the condition, the strategy is the traditional one. Whereas for the cells which are crossed by the particle, we recognize four different subcases as opposed to the three traditional ones. We write the jump conditions, which initially are in the TR coordinates, in two TR star coordinates. And we have developed both a first order and a second order Taylor development, but I'm going to show for simplicity only the first one. So case one, which is representative of one of the four cases, we have the classical diamond at the corners of the cell alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. In this case, the particle crosses the beta delta line at the point A and the gamma alpha line at the B point. We define epsilon A and epsilon B as being the smaller distance between, in the case of epsilon A, between alpha, A delta and B, A beta. We also, and similarly for epsilon B, the minimal distance between alpha B and B gamma. And the wave function at the position of the particle can be either plus or minus, according plus whether we take the part of the wave function between the particle in infinity and minus whether the particle in the horizon. So we get six numerical equations in which the particle at in which the wave function at alpha, beta, delta, and gamma is written in terms of the wave function in another point of the diamond and the Taylor development. So in case of first order, for instance, you take the value of the wave function at alpha. The value of the wave function at alpha will be given by the value of the wave function at B plus a Taylor development around the B position, time derivative. If you take another one, for instance, delta, you have that the wave function at delta will be given by the wave function at A plus Taylor development based on the space derivative, this time of the wave function at A. And we have six analytic expressions, which are the expressions which I've shown before on the wave function at A, B, and derivatives, space derivatives, and time derivatives. So we have to mix up all this. Our aim, of course, is the determination of the value of alpha, knowing the preceding three ones. Yeah. 2 minutes. Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
By algebraic manipulation, one can arrive to this final expression in which the value of the wave function at alpha is given by the three preceding values plus an algebraic combination of analytic expressions. In this way, there is no direct integration of the source term. And similar relations are found for the three other cases, can be found for the three other cases. The reason why there are four cases instead of three, because it makes a difference where the particle crosses the alpha, gamma, or beta, delta line. So we get waveforms at infinity starting from r equal 10 and r equal 40. Waveform at infinity, which recover the previous results, and waveform at the position of the particle, where the just the red is the plus wave function, the green is the minus wave function, and the of course the difference, the jump condition, is presented by the purple line, and the theoretical and the numerical superposed because the method is based in this way. So generalization, if one goes to higher order, one can develop a higher order Taylor scheme. If one goes to generic orbits, one can start from the inverse relations. One can start instead from the Reggio-Wheeler-Zerilli equation, modifying the equation from an equation in R star into R, and by posing a similar structure for the wave function, which results till C minus 1, one gets the condition of psi the derivatives. There are 8 cases, and not 4, just like in the radial, because the particle can go towards a larger R. And conclusions. So in our understanding, this method allows the to avoid the direct explicit integration of the source term and the singularities. Since the information on the wave equation is given implicitly by the jump conditions. Of course, the method is exactly the same for the particle, for the cells which are not crossed by the particle. And we haven't got there yet, but I think we think that we hope that this method allows simplifies the computation of the perturbations of the particle, of the perturbations at the position of the particle, since the approach is based exactly on the jump conditions. So that was it.
We have a few minutes. Just to make sure I understand, you have a specified particle trajectory in your body.
Yeah, this is the background.
Okay.
The geodesic, background geodesic.
Maybe I missed that, but when you, your integrations give unique values at these points A and B that you have, how do you get those?
Oh, that's okay, by preceding ones.
So you kind of tailor its path.
A and B from the other point? Oh, how do I get that? That I don't really need to know the value of the wave function, because what I need to know is simply the jump conditions. So what I need to know is beta, gamma, and delta, but that I have to know anyway.
Sir? You showed that the inner boundary for the numerical computation is minus 450 R star, which is about 2 plus 10 to minus 100 in R. How can you, do you have to convert back to R, Schwarzschild coordinate, or do you just stay at
Schwarzschild coordinate?
Can you maybe, what do you use for numerical, what language do you use? Maybe mathematical, or do you use something?
First of all, nothing I social audio we do in the work, but that is Fortran.
Okay. I was just wondering how you can probe that deep, if you go from Tortoise coordinate back to Schwarzschild coordinate, because it's 100 accuracy that you
I know that the mesh values, the boundaries, the mesh is just the traditional approach. There's nothing special about that.
Because we can only go about minus 65, because that's when you have your inner boundary is 2 plus 10 to minus 40, and that's your machine precision.
What you can do for that is just solve for R minus 2 instead.
Yeah, but it's still 10 to minus 100.
At
minus 450. Yeah, but people are rounding errors. But does that really matter? That is, so long as you're working in the tortoise core, do you care that R is equal to 2m to machine precision? Right, so your potential just freezes at the value that's on the horizon.